Christ the King is born. That is the theme of Christmas. It's the theme of Epiphany. Hear now the words from the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was born. He prophesied that Jesus would be born Emmanuel. That's Christmas. And here is his Epiphany prophecy from 700 years before. From the 60th chapter of Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." Glory is a word that is used for kings, right? A king comes in all his glory. But have you ever stopped and thought about the word glory? I mean, what does that mean? His greatness, his riches, his wealth, the robes he might wear, the crown he might wear. We as Americans, we don't have a king, so it's hard for us to sort of imagine that unless you watch a Disney movie and look at how the kings are dressed, or an old movie that has kings in it, right? Well, what does the word glory mean? We skip right over this. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. The glory of the Lord appears over you. The word glory, when it's referred to in terms of God and the Lord, appears first in the book of Exodus. God has brought his people out of Egypt, out of a land of slavery. He is their God. He is their king. And the glory of the Lord, the Bible says, descends upon Mount Sinai, where he makes a covenant with his people. He says, "You are my people, I am your God." And the glory of the Lord is so magnificent, so radiant, so powerful, that guess what? The people don't want God to talk to them. They can't stand it. It rumbles like incredible thunder and flashes like incredible lightning. It is frightening for sinful humans to stand in the sight of God's glory. So the people say, "Hey, Moses, will you please intervene, because we can't take it." So God calls Moses up on the Mount of Sinai. He gives him the Ten Commandments. He gives him a covenant. And God, and Moses is the only one who can sort of stand in the midst of God's glory, because it's so perfect and majestic. And then we read in Exodus 33, Moses wants confirmation from God that he's going to lead them to the promised land and take care of them. And this is what Moses says. He says, "Now show me your glory, O Lord." In other words, "I'm in the midst of your glory, but I want to see you face to face." He doesn't know what he's asking for. The Lord says, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," God said, "you cannot see my face. For no one who sees my face, no one who sees my glory, can live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you can stand on a rock, and when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock, and I will cover you with my hand so that you won't die. And once I've passed by, then you can look at my backside. Then I will remove my hand, and you'll see my back, but my face, my glory, you can't see. Otherwise, you'll be vaporized. Die." Moses' family learns this the hard way. His brother Aaron becomes the high priest, and his sons become the priests to help. And two of his sons, Nadab and Abihu, great names for dogs if you get two dogs, Nadab and Abihu, they decide one day to go see God's glory, and they try to look at God's glory, and they just become vaporized, dead. Not because God is mean, but because God in all his glory is dangerous to sinful humans. How many of you want to go stare at the sun for about an hour? It's out there. Would you do that? Andrew was just in Florida. It was 78 degrees, right? How many of you like to go in the Florida sun on the hottest day with no sunscreen and just bake? Is that recommended? No. And the sun is probably the most magnificent, glorious piece of God's creation that we on planet Earth know, correct? It is powerful. We could not live without it. Yet we would not go out in the hottest sun without sunscreen. We would not stare at the sun. We're told not to look at the sun directly. It will hurt our eyes. And yet, often we as humans want to just pet God like a puppy dog. And God is so powerful and majestic in our human flesh, we can't do that. Not even Moses could do that. And yet, here again, the promise of Isaiah. Think about if you were an Israelite hearing this promise of Epiphany. Arise and shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. If I was an Israelite, I wouldn't want that. I'd be like, no way. And yet this is a promise and it's a good thing. How's that going to happen? St. John answers the question for us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that, my brothers and sisters, is a marvelous truth. What happens is God in the Old Testament has to cover his glory with a tent called the tabernacle. He has to prepare his people with animal sacrifice, the innocent blood shed for his people so that his glory can be on earth. And then at Christmas time, he takes all his glory, even the glory that the shepherds, when they see the glory, remember Linus quoting the King James Version? And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and in Linus's voice, and they were sore afraid. You and I would be afraid in our sinful natures to stand in the glory of God too. But at that night, the glory of God went from heaven into this flesh. Jesus carried the glory of God, covered the glory of God, walked among the glory, with the glory of God among people. In the Old Testament, it would vaporize you. It went ahead of Israel and vaporized and destroyed the enemy nations. Not because God hated other nations, but because they were sinful, unrepentful people who waged war against God's people, and his glory went out and defended his people. Now the glory is in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, walking and talking, and you can cuddle it, and you can feed it. The glory of God is no longer dangerous, but in the flesh of Jesus Christ, it is salvation. And Jesus grows. And he walks in the streets, and he talks to people, and he vaporizes not people, but sin. He vaporizes not enemy nations, but death and the devil. And the great thing about Epiphany that brings Christmas and Epiphany together is the glory of God that draws not just the shepherds of Bethlehem, but the wise men from afar. All nations come, are drawn to the glory of God. Yeah, the shepherds saw a star. The wise men saw a star. The shepherds saw angels. The wise men had the word of God. They both are drawn, but what are they drawn to? Not the star. Not to Bethlehem. Not to King Herod. But to Jesus. He is the true king. And the reason he's the true king is he is the glory of God in flesh. And when the glory of God comes in flesh, not to destroy but to save, he changes the world. Those who are walking in darkness, a thick darkness, have seen a great light. The glory of God changes your life. You, like the wise men or the shepherds who walk in darkness, darkness of sin and guilt and shame perhaps, darkness of loneliness, darkness of sadness, of death, darkness of depression, darkness of doubt of what 2017 is going to bring. The good news is Epiphany is all about the glory of God. His perfect, majestic, all-powerful nature in Jesus for you. And that's an amazing thing. Because that perfect, majestic, powerful nature went to the cross and vaporized and destroyed your sin, your death, and the power of the devil. And you, like the wise men, are now filled with light. Light so you can go out into the darkness and show light to people, and so they can say, what is wrong with you? In a good way. And they too can see Jesus in your life, in your words, and they can come and they can bring not their gold or incense and myrrh, because God doesn't need that, but their sins, and lay them at his feet, and he will vaporize them, and with that he will vaporize their death, and he will raise their bodies with your bodies to everlasting life. The glory of God. That's what Epiphany, that's what Isaiah prophesied Epiphany's about. In Jesus' name, amen. I now invite you to stand and confess your faith in this glory of God with me in the words of the Apostles' Creed printed on page 5. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.